First of all, I'd like to thank for our opportunity to talk here. At the earliest stage of this work, we were collaborating with Albert Schwartz. Young Mills theory, one can think about Young Mills theory as like effective theory for, let's say, for open strings, and if one write effective Lagrangian, it should look like some higher order terms. Okay, so therefore it has a flavor of deformation theory, so you can think about this parameter alpha as a deformation parameter, and it's natural to do an algebraic treatment of this problem. Well, what kind of problem? We might try to describe all possible corrections which we can put here, or corrections which with restrictions, for example, those which are supersymmetric, or we can impose some kind of background independence condition, and so on and so forth. So, one can attempt to translate this problem into algebraic language and try to solve these problems algebraically. So it turns out that algebra has certain has developed certain tools which allow solve apparently sometimes intractable problems in which are formulated intractably in physics quite easily. And I'll try to explain you what are these tools and what we are able to solve this using this method. So first of all, we need to recast this problem into algebraic one. To do this, first of all, I'm going to work in a flat space-time. So we, at this moment, dimension of our space-time will be irrelevant, will be n. And, Rn equipped with the flat metric. So our gauge fields, we can think about them as differential operators of first order of this kind, where Ai is x-dependent matrix, then the basic equation which you'd like to study is Young-Mills equation. Okay, we can reduce this problem to this theory to a point, just considering x-independent connection, and this would somewhat simplify the equation, or make it more complex, depending on point of view. Where AI are matrices. Okay. This is almost what we want. Now we would like to introduce our main algebraic object. So we want to consider free algebra generated by Rn. This is a free Lie algebra with the base, which is with free generators V1, En. Just no relations between elements of this algebra, all Lie commutators of and the only relation which comes from Jacobi identity. Okay, on this free Lie algebra, we impose some relations. And the relations are, so the formal analogs of Young-Mills equations. So these are cubic relations, and so the usefulness of this algebra is the following. Well, it allows to talk about solutions of these equations as of representations. So if we have representation rho to the matrices, then rho of Vi is Ai, and since this is a representation, then it must satisfy so this relation, which is equal to zero in this algebra, should give some relation between matrices, and we automatically get a solution of this matrix valued Young-Mills equation. We can extend, well, actually, we can talk about representations. So consider solutions of G. It's representations of homomorphisms. Of Young-Mills algebra into G, where G is just some arbitrary algebra, Lie algebra. One of the examples was matrix algebra, or we can take G matrix algebra, or we can take G equal to differential operators of the first order and representations take of the form of this form. So this is a matrix valued differential operators of the first order. So this way we recover classical Young-Mills equation. Or we can take G to be Weyl algebra, universal valuing of Heisenberg algebra, in this case the equations which we get will called Young-Mills equation in non-commutative space, like in non-commutative affine space. So and so on and so forth. We can replace G by quantum torus, and this will give us Young-Mills theory on a quantum torus. Okay. So it's natural to separate then the target algebra G and, well, Young-Mills algebra itself. So G is sort of a background, and Young-Mills algebra is sort of core Young-Mills theory. Okay. So what we are going to study will be deformation theory of this algebra. So this is a purely algebraic object. So since this is a Lie algebra, so there is a standard framework specifically designed for such problems, namely, if G is any Lie algebra and N is representation can one consider just linear maps from exterior algebra of G into N, let's call it C I G N, and this the set of this linear spaces form a complex, so there is a boundary operator which I don't want to, well, I can write some, I will write it. D C Okay. So what is the usefulness of this complex? This complex is useful because if we put a right representation, it will compute as deformations of our Lie algebra G. So if we take N equal to a joint representation, then well, cohomology of this complex denoted by then H dot of G deformation cohomology. Okay, it's sort of easy to check. So what are the like the first two groups in this complex are? So H0 GG, it consists of all elements C which belongs to G, such that D of C is equal to 0. And this is the same thing as L of C, L commutator C is equal to 0 for all A. So C belongs to the center of the algebra. So C, H0, G is the center okay. H1, G of G. It is linear maps consist of representatives of cohomology classes are linear maps from G into G. And the condition of that DC is equal to 0 is the same as C commutator L1, L2 is equal to L1 commutator L2 plus CL1 L2. So this is condition that C is differentiation of G. The last group I want to talk about will be, I don't want to write all details, is a tangent space to the space of to the moduli space of deformations of G. Okay, so this is precisely what we want if we want to study these kind of problems. So if we impose more conditions on deformations, so like supersymmetry in case of Young-Mills algebra, so this will be more complicated grooves, but this is like a simplest possible example. Okay.
Is it complicated to write down the
conditions? No, it's not. I can write it. So C, L1, L2, well, lives in, so this is a map. C maps lambda 2 of G into G. Okay, and the condition is lambda 1 C lambda 2 lambda 3. So then we cyclically rotate all indices plus C lambda 1 lambda 2 lambda 3, and we cyclically rotate all indices, should be equal to 0.
So
there will be like 3 terms here, 3 terms here, 6 terms total. Yes, so this is precisely the condition that D of C, so C is an element from, C belongs to C2 of GG. So remember, so what is this? So this is element of this complex where N is equal to G and I is equal to 2. So when we apply differential increase the index I. So we should get a function, a polylinear function of 3 indices, right? So this is a polylinear function of three variables, mm-hmm. lambda 1, L1, L2, L3. And it should be equal to 0 because this is a condition of a cocycle. So this is...
But C is not... This is modulo C being the commutator, the Lie bracket itself, right?
Hmm?
So the trivial element in the cohomology is the Lie bracket itself. If you said C is the Lie bracket itself,
yes. So if C is Lie bracket itself, then it's automatically satisfied, and it will represent a trivial cocycle. But there are more than that trivial cocycles. This is how. It works. So a priori, we might expect that there are cohomology in degrees 3, 4, and so on and so forth. But in our applications, there will not be. There will be present in dimension 3, but dimension 4 higher.
So in some sense, the non-trivial elements of this cohomology are the deformations of the structure constant.
That's right. So this is a deformation. So if you want to deform structure constant, so we have a we want to deform structure constants. So we have a Lie algebra. So it means that we have a bracket from lambda 2 of G to G. So this commutator on the basis vector is equal to CIJKCK. Okay? And we've put a little parameter here, alpha, and expand it, then. So it will be equal to CIJK0 CK plus CKIJ prime alpha CK plus so on. So this these coefficients live in this group. So this is an example thing. Okay. In fact, there are one can consider not only cohomology but also homology of the group, and well, this is sort of similar, and the formula is almost the same, except that CJN. Logical complex CIGN is equal to not a space of maps, linear maps, but it's just a tensor product. And the formula is sort of mnemonically similar. Okay. And the last technical ingredient, which will be useful for us, related to deformation theory. Ah, just one more comment. So if you have an element from here, differentiation, then this differentiation defines as differentiation defines differentiation of universal enveloping algebra. Okay, we just it follows from universality or something. The opposite is not true. So if you have a differentiation of universal enveloping algebra, it's not necessarily coming from differentiation of the Lie algebra. So if you want to study deformation theory of universal enveloping algebra, one need to replace is determined by the groups H, I, G with coefficients in universal enveloping algebra, where G acts by commutators on U of G. Okay, so these groups are larger, and in fact, this sits inside as a direct sum. Okay, so in case of Young-Mills theory, it's a priori it's not clear what should we consider, universal enveloping algebra of Young-Mills algebra or Lie algebra itself. So it depends on the application. Well, it turns out that there is a generalization of this deformation theories from algebras which are not necessarily universal enveloping algebras. Okay, and I would like to just say briefly about them. So suppose A is an algebra, and one can define complex CIAA is just and the differential are defined by some crazy formula which I don't want to write. And cohomology of this thing called
I plus one.
Right. Okay. It's homology theory of A with coefficients in A. So in case of universal enveloping algebra, well, this is homology I already defined. Okay, so the point of just talking about this more general concept is the following. So on this linear space, so you see we have I plus one copies of A. There is a operator of cyclic permutation. It acts cyclically permuting tensor factors. If you put appropriate sign, what we'll get will be the following. So tau then differential is well defined on the quotient by the image. Okay, so the cohomology of this complex are called cyclic cohomology. So this produces homology. The point of introducing all these homologies and cohomologies is that they are interrelated, and if one of the homologies are very hard to compute, another easy to compute, and so so this is like input from homological algebra. So a priori, from physics point of view, well, it's not clear how to. I give you an example. So what is hard to compute using naive methods? Okay, so how. Universal enveloping algebra of YM is graded. So it has generators VIs of degree 2. So it has elements in degree 2, 4, for example, curvature has degree 4, and so on and so forth. Okay. So therefore, all homologies and cohomologies, they acquire additional grading. Okay, so we will call HCI R of U of J where the grading is greater than zero. Okay. Now, let us, okay. So here's, here are the main properties, which turns out to be very useful. And not quite obvious. Ith cohomology of YM in the model N is equal to H3 minus I YM in the model N. So the Lie algebras with these properties are called Lie algebra of Poincaré duality. Okay, homological dimension if for any module n, so I don't specify module, so we can put here like trivial coefficients, or we can put any like representation, any solution of Young-Mills equation for a module, whatever. So we always be getting zero if I is greater than 3. And H C I minus 1 Okay, and there is a short exact sequence. Okay. Now let me just say a few words about interpretations of these groups. In case of this Young-Mills algebra. So H0 YM okay, so we know this is the center of okay, consider any if rho is any representation of YM. So somewhere, then center, rho of center maps to something which commutes with connections. So therefore, it defines this endomorphism of connection. So we can call this row of center is just like universal endomorphism. So if you have a connection, you have like a trivial endomorphism, like it's sort of obvious. So question is, are there any non-trivial endomorphism which exists for all connections, all possible connections which satisfy Yang-Mills equation? And of course, the answer is no. Well, there is only trivial one. So proposition, well, we can prove it rigorously. The center of universal enveloping of Yang-Mills algebra is equal to C. So next question. So we sort of, so this group turns out to be not very interesting. Okay. So next group is H1 of YM with coefficients in YM. So we know that this group is generated by derivations, modular inner derivations. Okay, so suppose we can exponentiate such a derivation. So we get an automorphism of this algebra. So we have take C and take exponential of C. Suppose we have a row, a representation or solution of Yang-Mills equation in some background. Okay, then we can compose the some parameter T. We can compose rho with xt of C. And it gives us a new representation. Okay? Therefore, we have a sort of flow on a space of solutions of Yang-Mills equation in this background. And the question is, so is it possible, and this flow doesn't depend, which generated by an element from here, doesn't depend on the choice of the background. Is it possible to enumerate all of them? And it turns out that the answer is yes. So there are some very simple choices of such automorphisms. Namely, a group of Lorentz rotations, which if we complexify it will become SON, acts on RN, which is spanned by V1, VN, and it preserves the equations. The relations. Okay, therefore it's an automorphism of Yang-Mills algebra. So sort of obvious automorphism. Okay, then this algebra has a grading, therefore there's a differentiation, so there's a dilation operator which produces this grading. And it's also derivation of this algebra. And there is one more simple set of which acts on generators by the formula ds of vt is equal to delta ST. Well, it's natural to call them translations. So we have three types of automorphism, universal automorphisms, and so suppose we would like to find some non-trivial one. So then we would need to do the following. So we on generators VIs, this mu derivation is equal to f of n some non-commutative polynomial, and this d should map relations into ideal generated by relations. Well, this is the case where it's very hard to solve this problem by hands because, well, for large degree of f, this inclusion becomes intractable. But homological algebra allows to solve it. So we have proposition H1 So now I'd like to understand the structure of sort of next group H2 of YM with coefficients of YM. So at this point, this general identity, which exists for homology and cohomology, come to rescue. So this is equal to, so this is a deformation, tangent space, infinitesimal deformations. Okay, so this is equal to H1 of YM with coefficients in YM. Okay, on the other hand, we have a short exact sequence, which I almost already erased. So H1 Okay, so let's try to understand this short exact sequence. So, first of all, this group. So this group is, we can use, one can just use a definition of this group and see what it is, just write differential, see what kind of group it is, but I can give you the answer like directly. This group is equal to H quotient of ym by a commutator. Okay. And somehow this quotient by a commutator maps to infinitesimal deformations of Young-Mills algebra. So the answer, so why this could be true, is very simple. So remember that Young-Mills algebra, Young-Mills theory, it's come from Lagrangian. So we have Lagrangian okay, on algebraic language, Fij, the curvature, is just a commutator of Vi and Vj. And the Lagrangian looks like Vi, Vj, Vi, Vj, sum j. So we should treat this thing as a like a word and an alphabet generated by VIs and VJs with certain relations. So we in this formula for integral, there is a rule of integration by parts. Okay, so we have a similar cyclic properties. So we can, if we expand these commutators and this product, if we put letter from the most right position to the left position, so this thing shouldn't change. So the point is, if we denote this L by Lagrangian, then the relations which used to define our algebra are algebraic analogs of variational derivatives of this thing, of L. Okay. Now, easiest way to deform relations is to add something to this Lagrangian. So we have L goes to L plus lambda prime, and this defines deformation of YM, because new relations maps to okay. So we have this cyclicity of this words, and you can define the cyclicity using factoring by commutators. But there is one more thing. Not if you take two different lambda prime and lambda double prime, they do not necessarily give you two different deformations, though lambda and lambda primes are could be different, because there is a field redefinition and equations of motion. Okay, therefore the space of so we can say that lambda L prime is equivalent to L double prime if corresponding deformations are the same. Okay, and it turns out that this is the right group where such lambdas live. And one can ask the following questions. So this group is also graded by eigenvalues of dilation. So what are the dimensions of the graded components? So and it turns out that there is a simple formula for it. Well, relatively simple.
So in other words, you count how many variant Lagrangian terms you have of the given degree in the
yes, that's right.
Model the equations of motion.
Model the equations of motions and fill the definitions. Formula. So now this function where psi is Euler function, it computes the number of integer which divide k, which are less than k.
So n here is
n is dimension of the space time. Okay.
But the strange thing is the last term.
Well, these terms, they come from H1 and then from H0. So there's similar formulas for this kind of formulas are not new, right? So for example, Polyakov sometimes ago was computing something similar but in a little different setting. So he was computing the number of words in some free algebra generated by some linear space. Okay, so if you take a free algebra, then this term will always appear. So this term is sort of responsible for non-freeness of Yang-Mills algebra. There are relations, so there is no, you couldn't choose independent variables. So, well,
which
terms.
For which group is this?
Well, for universal group.
I see. So you're not including, you know, the relations that you get for finite n integer arbitrary groups.
So no.
You could mod out by those, that would be a further...
That's right.
Okay. So this is for U infinity or something?
Yes, that's right.
So assuming no group relations.
That's right. Okay. So
we have a short break.
Yeah, sure.
Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.